Lord, bless this message as we think about your life, Lord, in your name. Amen. It's amazing to read that. Yeah, you may be seated. Sorry. It's amazing to read that and to think what Mary knew. Like we could look back on that song or that prayer and think, wow, like what a holy thought. Or she must have gone to seminary to understand that theology or to understand that history. But I think what it shows is the expectation that we have, right? That people have for hope. I was thinking this morning that we are so optimistic as a people. Right? So optimistic. In the church, yes, but I'm thinking as a whole, people, humanity, we're so optimistic. Because if you look at human history and you look at how things have gone, like there hasn't ever been a time in history where everything was A-okay, right? Or everything was running in harmony, right? Since the fall, since Genesis 3, things have been rattling along in disunity. But we continue to hope. We continue to expect. But how much of that hope is disappointed? How much of that expectation fails? But here we see Mary, who is just a simple woman with no means, but with a great expectation. And with a great understanding, really, of history. The history of the nation of Israel, and also the hope of the nation of Israel. That she really does understand what God is communicating to her when the angel gives her this great hope and this message of the Savior. It's more than just being excited that she's going to have a baby boy, but it's the excitement and the knowledge that through her the Messiah would come. It's so much bigger than maybe sometimes we think. Like we look back at it as this immortalized time, but if you think of Mary in that time, just going about her day, right? Trying to plan a wedding. Right? Anybody ever plan a wedding? Right? Yeah. Guys, we really didn't understand what was happening. Right? No matter what you said, you really were not a part of every detail. Right? But ladies planning a wedding, like this is the culmination of a lifetime of expectation. Right? They say when a girl gets married, she has everything in place. She's just waiting to put the person there. But everything else is planned, right? The flowers are planned. The weather is planned. The scene is planned. Just waiting for the person to be inserted. The guys, when they think about it, they're just, I hope someone's there. Like, that's all that matters, right? That's all, whatever else comes with it. We can have, you know, the food and the flowers. That's all nice, but really, it's not what is important. Okay. But here Mary is getting the picture. But I just want to focus really on two verses, verse 47 and 48. She says, "My soul, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Oh, I'm sorry, three verses. "For he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Blessing. That word is a word we use a lot, isn't it? There's a song, remember the song, "Don't Call Me Lucky, Call Me Blessed"? Does anybody remember that song? Yeah, yeah. Can you sing it for us, John? There it is. Nailed it. Sign them up. Offering song next week, right? "Don't Call Me Lucky, Call Me Blessed." And we use this word a lot, don't we? How are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. And there's a lot of ways to use it, and I'm not going to say one is bad and one is good, but they're both great. To recognize that the things God has put in our life are a blessing. Right? Have you ever, like the finances, that we could be blessed? Right? Have you ever had a check show up at just the right time? And you say, oh my gosh, the Lord blessed me. Right? Because like I didn't have what I needed, and then I got it. A blessing, and I recognize that as a blessing. Right. How many people have prayed for a car or something and then God provided? And you say, man, that car is a blessing. And you look at it, the first few days, you look out the window, you're like, man, that thing's a blessing. Look at that thing. Blessing. And then you got to go to the gas station. And you say, who gave me this thing? Man. It's good. It is good to recognize the things that God has put in our lives. Relationships are a blessing. Right? Like Paul described, Pastor Paul describing our church. Yeah, it's a blessing to hear that, isn't it? Like to hear that, his view of the church and what we did. It's a blessing to hear that that's what he saw, really. And this church is a blessing. It is. Oh my gosh, I'm blessed every day. Jess and I were talking the other day about when we moved up here. 35 years ago. No. 6 years ago, right? We moved up here 6 years ago, and it was amazing. And we didn't think about it. We didn't talk about it for like a year or two after, because it was like a lot. It was a lot. Like, we would start talking about it and be like, okay. Can't think about that. Like, that was a big change, a big transition for us. And we wouldn't have made it. We wouldn't have made it if it weren't for the body of Christ. Honest to God. It wouldn't have been worth it if it weren't for the body of Christ and the call that he had put on our lives. We were thinking about it and what we did. Right? It just like ripped up everything and then moved it over, and then we were happy about it. That's a blessing to be able to change things and then recognize that God was doing it. It's a blessing. And we're so thankful. But I don't want my walk with God and my experience with God to be dependent on these blessings. Right? They are good. They are good. They are important. And I recognize them, and I am so thankful for them. But at some point, the car in the driveway begins to rust. Right? And the brakes go out. I was on Route 90. I told this story recently. I was on Route 90 one day. I was on my way to the airport to pick up Pastor Kim Shibley in that little gray car, and I hit the brakes hard because I was not paying attention. And then all of a sudden they went really soft. Right? And then the next time I went to stop, the brake pedal went all the way down to the floor. And I said, "Ooh, this is going to be interesting, right? What am I going to do? I'm almost to the airport. I could turn around and go back home, or I could just go to the airport using the handbrake the whole time." So I did that. But what had happened was I hit the brakes, and the brake lines had all rusted. So when I put the pressure in the brake line just broke them all the brake lines. And I thought, man, that car was a blessing until it was a curse. Like, how does that happen, that something could move from a blessing to a frustration? That is not, that the monetary things or even the physical things are not the basis for my walk with God. And when Mary is saying here, "Every generation will call me blessed," she is saying so much more than "I have the things I want." Because actually, if you look at the life of Mary, it was a simple life. And maybe, I mean, actually very much a tragic life. We don't know what happened to Joseph. He just kind of disappears from the scene here early on in the Gospels. We don't see him later on at all. So whatever happened to Joseph? And then if you read in John chapter 7, there's like a debate or like a little schism between Jesus and his brothers and sisters. Like, do you think that she loved that? Probably not. Maybe she wished that they all got along. And then Christ goes to the cross, and even Simeon says in Luke chapter 2, "The sword will also pierce your heart, Mary." And then to see Christ on the cross in agony and pain, right? Oh, tragic life. And then John, Christ from the cross says to John, "Behold your mother, and mother, behold your son." Like, and she's just like kind of drifting through this world. And she kind of doesn't have a place, but she has people. And it's believed that Mary went with John down to Ephesus, and she was with him until she passed. So we could say, no, but we say, "You're blessed, Mary." And we could look at it another way and say, no, she was not blessed, right? Everything she had was taken. She never had any substance in this world. She never had anything to hang on to. But her song in the beginning is that every generation will call me blessed. And the word that she's using, or the thing that she is saying, is not that she will have nice things. Again, I'm not saying this to diminish nice things. We all like to be blessed, right? We do. But even without the physical things or without the monetary things, I can say that I am blessed. Because I have God. Like Pastor Paul said, Emmanuel, God with us. In Isaiah chapter 7. Wow, God with us. That is a blessing. That I would have something in my life that cannot be affected by the tide. That cannot be affected by the elements, right? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, don't lay up your treasure where moth and rust. Wait a second. I think I meant to say moth and rust, right? Where moth and rust can break it down, right? Jesus also, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, he makes the distinction between a house built on sand and a house built on a rock. What happens to both of these houses? Both houses have the same things happen to them. The wind is there, the water is rising, the flood is coming by, and as it comes by the house that is built on the sand, what happens? Everything that it is built on is washed away, and the building begins to wobble and then finally go down. And it says, how great is the fall of it. But then there's a house that's built on a rock. And when the wind comes and the waters rage and the torrent is ripping by, the house stands. Why? Because of what it's built on. When we talk about being blessed in our life, we are talking about this. That we have something in our life that cannot be deteriorated. We have something in our life that the floods cannot affect. We have something in our life that although everything around me is changing and moving and shaking, it is not. And that is Christ. That is what Mary is talking about. Mary is saying, God has visited me. God has given me a message. God has told me that my life is bigger than everything happening to it. And although there will be tragedy, although there will be discouragement, although there will be trials, my life stands. And I'm because I'm blessed. Matthew chapter 5 starts this way with the Beatitudes. Right, the Beatitudes. Have you ever looked at that word and say, I wonder what that means? Beatitudes. Right? Isn't it a funny word? Have you ever used it in any other context? Right? I always thought it's the attitudes we should be having. But it's this way. It means blessing. It's from the Latin word, blessing. And we, of course, and it makes sense that way because you go through the Beatitudes. Blessed is the one. Blessed is the one. Blessed is the one. Blessed is the poor in spirit, for he shall see the kingdom of heaven. These blessings. You look at those blessings and we can say, no, that is not a blessing. It seems like you don't have. It seems like you don't have the answer. It seems like you don't have joy. He says it, blessed are those who mourn. You say, excuse me, I'd rather not mourn. Can we leave that part out? No, blessed are you who mourn. Why? Because you will be comforted. It is a blessing when I go through things because then I meet God in it. And I find out that He is bigger than the trial. He is bigger than the obstacle. And actually, He is building something in me through it that I can have. And that is a real blessing. So when everything is coming up against me, I'm not running for the hills. Remember we did our series on Ephesians chapter 6 with the armor? The armor, the shield of faith. The shield of faith. It seems like it would be heavy. It was 4 feet tall, 2 feet wide, maybe wood wrapped in leather and some bronze or brass around it. Like that seems like it would be a cumbersome thing, a heavy thing. And we could look at our faith that way and say, like, this faith is heavy. And I could look at the Bible and say, I don't know, it's big, it's intimidating. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to end. I don't know what's going on. But when we carry it and we find the strength that it gives us. Like I could say, nah, it's not worth carrying. I'll just put it down. I'll pick it back up when I need it. And I feel like I'm liberated. But then whoosh, a fiery dart hits me in the neck. I say, hey, ooh, what was that? What was that? But the shield of faith, I have it, I carry it. And then when I find things are hitting it, right? Things are hitting the shield and not hitting me. And I say, oh, that's a blessing. This thing that I am carrying around with me is a blessing. This faith that we live by is a blessing because it gives us some life beyond the difficulty or beyond the things. A blessing, right? So I'm not saying it's bad to recognize things that are blessing, right? If we talk after service and we say, oh, it was a blessing, we say, hey, that's not a real blessing. That car is not, hey. No, we're not going to correct each other that way, right? Okay. We can be gracious because it is a blessing. But then she said, okay, so is that clear? What does it mean to be blessed? To be satisfied, right? To be fulfilled. To be living my life not based on something that can change, but instead living my life based on something that is unchangeable. Right? That's a real blessing, to find in this life something that is unchanging. Something that is uncaused. You understand? Uncaused. God is uncaused, meaning nothing initiated Him. Nothing started Him. And His thoughts towards me are not because something has started it, but they are because He thinks that way about me. That's a blessing to know that. It's a blessing to know that God loves me because He loves me. There's nothing that caused God to love me. Like imagine I said something one day and God said, oh, okay, now I love that guy. Now I love him. Now, before, but now I love him. No, this blessing is uncaused. We didn't draw it down to ourselves. Like there is that way of believing that I would do something and get God's attention, that I would be so grand or I would be so spectacular. The play we put on last night, Jared did a great job as God. Whoa, and then in the Easter play, he's Jesus. So we were concerned the other day. We were like, I don't know. He might get a complex. He might think he's so. So actually, what we had him do is come put in some new toilets in the church. So we thought that would keep him humble a little bit. But Jericho said, I represented you, God. I didn't stumble over any lines like Pastor did. I did well, and then God would say, okay, Jared, now I love you. Now I love you. No. Instead, it is that we recognize that God loves us because He loves us, and it is not caused by anything else. That's a blessing. That is a blessing, to know that and to believe that and allow that to change my life. That's a blessing. That's what Mary is saying. Blessed. Blessed. Imagine if she thought, man, if I'm going to raise the Messiah, then that I'm going to have some serious assistance. Right? God is going to provide for everything. If I'm raising the Messiah, it's going to be a gravy train with biscuit wheels. It's going to be a great life. But instead, what is it? What is it? It's difficulty. It's tragedy. But also there is something there that carries her through all of that so that she doesn't lose it, but she holds it together. And she knows that God is with her. Why? Right. How can she say that she is blessed? Why does she say that generation after generation will call her blessed? Because this, in verse 49, for, because he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He who is mighty has done great things for me. We can say the same thing. I know in my life I can say the same thing. He who is mighty, the mighty one. Isaiah 9:6, it's one of the names of the Messiah, the mighty God. Mighty God, El Gabor, the mighty God. He who is mighty has done great things for me. There are many mighty things in this world. There are many mighty gods. There are many mighty spirits. There are many things that are mighty. If we look at the world and we look at like addiction is a mighty thing, isn't it? It's a mighty thing, and we can see the grip that it has on people, and it's devastating. It's devastating. You know, oh my God, it's heartbreaking to see it. It's mighty. bitterness can be mighty. It can grip my heart and it can turn my heart to stone. And we can see that our lives can be affected by bitterness or unforgiveness. One of the lines in the play last night was, humanity's legacy of hate and deception tarnished the promise. And isn't that, well, that's a great way to put it. We have a legacy. We have a legacy, and there is, we can see it. Like I said, there's never been a point in human history where we said they figured it out. But, right, why am I bringing us all down? Right? Ooh, right? But He who is mighty has done great things for us. He is mightier than all of it. He is able to overcome all of it. That there are mighty things in this world, but none of them are anything compared to God. And He is the one who has done great things for us. So when we look at everything else, we could say, yes, it is hard. Yes, it is bigger than me. Yes, it will overcome me. But I am in God. He who is mighty has done great things for me. And I was thinking again about the play. There were a couple lines. Some of the songs, the lines were, they caught me. And one was in the first song Esther was singing. And she said, beauty was not made to hide behind shame. Beauty is not made to hide behind shame. What a great thought. That we are created and we are beautiful. We are beautiful. I don't care what you say about me. I'm beautiful. Right? No, we are beautiful. And that God has created us. And when He created us, He said, it is good. It is very good. It's beautiful. But then sin is like ugly. And how can the two meet? That beauty is not made to hide behind shame. And though we live in this world and there is something masked, there is a beauty. And do we know what it is? We see glimpses of it. We see a little bit of it. But then when we meet Jesus, we are free. We are free. And we say, oh Lord, and we know the way He loves us. We know the way He looks at us. And we can say, I am beautiful in the eyes of God. How can I say that? Because He who is mighty has done great things for me. He has removed the shame. He has removed the sin. He has removed the hindrance. And He has given me a liberty to know myself in Him. That's amazing. Another line was in Jonah's song as Joseph. Right? And he said, learning to forgive what cannot be undone. Right? Learning to forgive what cannot be undone. That's a difficulty. And if you look at that story of Joseph, to think that you go to check on your brothers one day and they don't just like give you a noogie, but they sell you into slavery. Right? Like, that's terrible. And you can't undo it. He's 30-something years in Egypt, subject to all kinds of things. He's imprisoned, he's delivered, and then God is with him, yes, but he still has to deal with the last view of his brothers. Counting the money as he was given away. Can you imagine that? Like, you're riding away, chained up, and you're watching them divide the money that they just sold you for. Like, how can you just let that go? Be like, they didn't mean it. No, they meant it. And they did it. And it's terrible. But it can't be undone. And how are you going to... How can I get over that? How can I forgive? Because every time I say I forgive, it rears up in my head again and I say, I can't let it go. And we said last night, we all have a past. We all have a past. And maybe in our past there is something that is mighty. Maybe in our past there is something that we have not learned to forgive. And where is my hope of overcoming it? Where is the hope of getting over it? But it's only in Christ. He who is mighty has done great things for us. And He has overcome. And guess what? He has forgiven you. Oh. How do I learn to forgive? By reading it 100 times? Anybody in school, you had to write something over and over again? Anybody? Right? Is that like an old school thing? Like, write, I will not do this 600 times. Be like, oh. I just remember Daylene Colby, she was my teacher. She said, you have to write this. And I said, I'm going to make this so miserable for her that she won't. So I would write it as messy as possible. Right? So good luck reading this, right? You know, of course, she knew what I was writing, so it wasn't, you know, joke's on me, I guess. But how do I go to the Bible and say, okay, forgive, 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 and then I look up and I say, no, it didn't work. Forgive, 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 forgive. And then I say, oh, definitely didn't work. Forgive, forgive. And then say, it doesn't work. The Bible doesn't work. Jesus isn't real. I can't do it. Right? No, what is it? What do I read instead? You are forgiven. Psalm 32, verse 2, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Whoa, that's a mighty thing. That's a great thing. He who is mighty has done great things for me. He has forgiven me. And when I stand before God and I learn that I am forgiven, oh, that's where I can learn to forgive. Because He changes my heart. Like Pastor Paul said, I cannot come in contact with Christ without being changed. Christ changes us. And He teaches us to forgive. That's a mighty thing, right? Resolving things that I cannot resolve. But also, resolving things that I cannot resolve, but also doing things that I cannot do. Like overcoming sin, or paying for sin, or bringing myself back into fellowship with God. In this David song, right, there's one line in the introduction to David that forgiveness heals the wounds of sin. Right? And have we learned that? That there is healing in Christ. There's a blessing to know that He forgives. There's a blessing to know that He heals. There's a blessing to know that He paid what I could not pay. He did what I could not do. And when I realize that, I say, He who is mighty has done great things for me, and He has finished it. The coming of Christ, right? The virgin birth, the incarnation, what we celebrate at Christmas. 1 week from today, are you ready? Right? When we celebrate that, what are we celebrating? That the mighty one came into an unable world and offered and gave and became the able one. And did what we couldn't do. Delivered us from what we couldn't deliver ourselves from. And He finished what we ourselves could not finish. The finished work of Christ. He who is mighty has done, past and is done, He has done great things for me. We talk about the finished work. When Jesus was on the cross, John 19:30, the last thing He said, He was there in agony, and He said, "It is finished. It is finished." He wasn't talking about Himself. He wasn't talking about the day, but He was talking about the work necessary to bring me to God. That is what is finished. He who is mighty has done great things for me. And as Christ is hanging on the cross and everybody is mocking Him, and they're saying, "Come down from the cross. Come on down." He said, "You talked about angels before. Where are they?" And they could walk away and say, "Ha, He's nothing." But then there's Jesus bearing the weight of something that no one else could bear. And of course, He could have brought 12,000 angels into the scene and just made everything, flattened everybody. But that wasn't it. The Mighty One was doing something greater. And He was doing what was necessary for our redemption. So here we are at Christmas. Right? Thinking about, we could think about our past. Does anybody ever think about your past? No. What do we do with our past? We all have one. But then also we all have a future. We all have something. We all have some expectation. And like I said, we are the most optimistic people because we always there's always hope. But if I only have my past, okay, in closing here, if I only have my past, then what hope do I have for my future? Or if all of my past comes with me, what hope do I have in the future? Understand that He who is mighty has done great things for me, and He has dealt with my past, and He has also secured my future. And I am free to walk into my future, walk into what is next, free, new. I am a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am a new creation. I'm forgiven. I am equipped. I am able, and I have the Mighty One, and I will walk into my future by faith and with confidence. It says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, it says, blessed are the ones who are part of the first resurrection, and they are not part of death. Ooh, that's a blessing, isn't it? Oh, a blessing to think that my future is secured in God. Eternity. My future. I was with a gentleman last week, and he has like weeks to live, maybe. But also God could intervene. God could bring him back in here in a couple weeks. But he's in hospice care, and he's saying, the doctor told me I have weeks to live. I said, what's that like to hear that news? And he said, it hits you pretty hard. And I said, well, what's next? What's on the docket? What's next? What's coming for you? And he said, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And I said, well, let's make sure. And we went to the Bible, and hallelujah, here in the Word of God, we find the answer for what is next. We love to plan for a future. It's good. But have we prepared for eternity? And do we have an answer for the next step? That death comes knocking, and do we have an answer? Yes, we step out of life and into eternity with joy. Paul says it in Corinthians. He says, I'm absent from the body and present with the Lord. Hallelujah. We could be ready, right? We're ready. We're ready. Yes, death is coming, but hallelujah, eternal life is right there. Eternal life, I have it now, and I will walk right into it. So this is the hope of Christmas, the incarnation. It is God opening the door to us and saying, hey, there is more than just a past and an unsure future. But instead, God, He who is mighty, has done great things for you, where He has given you an answer for the past, and He has given you a solution for the future. So you're blessed. That's a blessing, isn't it? The winds may come, the water is raging by, we feel it. Right? We feel the pressure. But inside we know that we are blessed. And these monetary things can go whizzing by, right? It's easy to lose things, isn't it? You can work so hard to get something and then it's lost in a second. But that's okay. That's okay. We have something that cannot be lost. We have something that cannot be taken away from us. And the Mighty One has done great things for us, and He wants us to know it. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank You for this blessed life, Lord. Thank You for giving us answers. Thank You for delivering us, Lord. Thank You for leading us in eternal life. And if there's anybody here this morning who never put your faith in Christ, just say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I ask that You would come and that You would forgive me. Lord, I believe that You went to the cross, You bled, You died, You rose again just for me. I believe, Jesus, give me the gift of eternal life. And if that's your prayer this morning, I just ask that You would raise your hand. Let us know. And Lord, thank You. Thank You for this Christmas time. Thank You that You give us blessings beyond the things, Lord. But we have You. In Your name, amen.